Thanks, JP. What a nice introduction. Hi, my name is Dr. Roy Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. I'm extremely thankful to be here this morning. Last Saturday, not so much. Too much black ice on the road. Plus, who needs to get in a car wreck, right? You know, I've been very curious how many cars went off the road. Because it was bad, wasn't it? Okay. Let me kind of hit the ground running this morning. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I kind of have like multiple ideas. Let me just kind of hit the ground running and tell you what I'm thinking about. This thought was on my mind this week, but I wanted to tell you this. There is a gland. It is called the hypothalamus. It is at the very center of the brain. The hypothalamus, in some circles, scientists and researchers and neurologists, they call it the heart of the brain. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why do they call the hypothalamus the heart of the brain? Well, it's considered the master control gland. Every hormone that the human body produces, whether it's male or female, it's constantly being read and evaluated by the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus has everything to do with your perception of thirst. So what do you do if a person is drinking a whole lot of coffee, or they're drinking a fair amount of alcohol, or a carbonated beverage that's filled with caffeine? Well, all those beverages, they have potential to be very dehydrating. I know this is not rocket science. You're probably thinking, well, why don't we people just drink water? Well, good question. But some people do not drink water. They drink everything else but water, and that can have a very dehydrating effect upon the body. But the hypothalamus, it's continually, it's almost like it's got an it's got a water sensor that it sticks, or like a dipstick, down into the blood. It's constantly tasting it and licking it, trying to determine, okay, what's water levels? And I know you know this already, but every good chemical reaction that takes place within your cells, you know, the good stuff that you want to happen, it only takes place in the medium of water. Water is a universal solvent. And so the hypothalamus needs that. You've got to have hydration. You've got to have your hypothalamus reading everything correctly. Well, I was reading that when people live in very hot regions of the world, tropical regions, well, they're trying to survive the heat. They have to play the hand that they are dealt. And that means, how are we going to make it even though it's like super, super hot? No, I'm not talking about East Texas last week. That was super, super cold. But one of the glands that regulates body temperature, it keeps you from either overheating or getting too cold, that's your hypothalamus. Well, lo and behold, capsaicin, which is the active ingredient that's found in cayenne peppers, has been shown to work upon the hypothalamus at regulating temperature and cooling you down. I know that doesn't make sense. You're probably thinking to yourself, how could eating a hot, spicy pepper do anything to keep my body cool? But it does. The ingestion of cayenne peppers by people that live in the tropical parts of the world, it gets them cool because it stimulates the cooling center of the hypothalamus. I think that's so interesting. Now, years ago, and I'll just say this kind of vaguely and generally, I had a man that came to see me, and he told me that he was this close to taking his life because of a severe, painful condition known as trigeminal neuralgia. And as he was telling me his story, he talked about the treatment from neurologists. He even had a neurosurgeon friend, I believe. And as he tells me the story, you can tell the guy is not getting any relief. And so when I say the guy was in pain, did I mention he said he wanted to take his life? Well, he did that. He said that for one reason, because he could not get any relief from the severe pain. I want to say that he told me that he would sleep maybe 10 to 15 minutes at a time, and he'd wake up with just horrible pain in his face. I mentioned it earlier, but I'll say it again. He had a condition known as trigeminal neuralgia. And I'm sure like anything else, there's a mild version of it, and there's probably to the far extreme, the most severe version of it, where you want to beat your head against the wall just to get some relief. Well, he told me if something didn't happen soon, he was going to go on a different track. So I said, okay, Roy, take it seriously. We got to get this guy some help. And so what I told him was, I said, there's a principle that you may not have heard of. And he said, well, what's that? I said, when a person has horrible pain that's being released by the nerve cells, that substance that's being released by these nerve cells is constantly firing up all these pain signals. It's called substance P. You ever heard of substance P before? So if somebody has continual ongoing nerve pain that does not abate or release or resolve or go away, then you can bet your bottom dollar their nerves are in this continual loop of just over and over again. They're pumping out what's called substance P. And just think of P for pain. And so you can see how a person could get caught in this vicious cycle of ongoing pain. And all the opioids in the world don't solve it. They don't fix anything. The nerve is just going bonkers, releasing substance P over and over again. So the net result is they're in this continual cycle of pain and inflammation and irritation. It's just driving them crazy. They cannot get relief. Well, what I told this guy was that had trigeminal neuralgia. I said, have you ever heard of a product before called Zostrix? And he said, no. I said, have you ever heard of a salve they sell at the store called Capsaicin P? He said, no. And so I just gave him like a brief rundown on what I knew about substance P. And I said, what we got to do is we got to try a different tact here. And of course, I'm pretty brutally honest with people. But I told him, I said, this is going to irritate the fire out of you. I said, but you're going to have to give it a chance to see if it works. But I explained to him that the active component that's found in cayenne peppers called capsaicin, it has the most interesting ability to positively affect the nerve's release of substance P. P is for pain. And so I told him, I said, if you'll apply this about 4 to 6 times a day directly over your cheek, or the part of your face where you have the horrible pain that's driving you crazy, you're going to have to give it a shot. And so he said, isn't that going to be irritating? I said, yes, it's going to be irritating. And actually, in some books, this technique is called counter-irritation. You know how, like, if there's a horrible fire somewhere, well, the U.S. Forestry Service will go outside where the fire is and start another fire and let that fire burn inward toward the raging fire in a way to kind of contain it, because if everything's burned up by the time the forest fire gets there, well, that's the end of that fire. I think it's a brilliant strategy. And so one thing that capsaicin does when you rub it over a highly inflamed nerve, it retrains the nerves that are on autopilot. They're just pumping out pain signals. It doesn't mean that you're sick. It just means that the nerves are on this negative feedback loop, and they're just going bonkers, releasing pain fibers or the sensation of pain over and over again. Well, lo and behold, he tells me in about, I want to say 17 to 18 days, because I told him that most studies show it's about a 3-week type deal. But he was very faithful, and at first he was very irritating putting a capsaicin salve on his face. But, you know, I think he did it through faith. You know how in the Bible it says faith is the evidence of that which is not yet seen? Well, I really don't know how much faith he had, but he had enough to rub the capsaicin cream, I think it was Zostrix was the product, on his face. But we completely, when I say we, it was him, he completely retrained his body not to experience the horrible, horrific pain. Anyway, that's a pretty good story right there. But I think I was telling a woman this week that we need to give that a go on this severe, uncontrollable, irritating pain to see if we can retrain the nervous system not to release so much substance P. Anyway, enough of that. The other thing that I read when I was kind of on that topic was in the New England Journal of Medicine, they showed that when people consume cayenne peppers frequently, their indigestion goes away. Go figure, right? Anyway, I thought that was very interesting. Now, if I can, I know this is just very brief. I tried to find the reference for it, and it's somewhere in here. But in a human study, I'm switching gears. I was talking about cayenne peppers and capsaicin. Now I'm talking about bee pollen. Bee pollen is amazing stuff. It's just incredible. In a human study, a pollen extract showed significant improvement in menopausal symptoms. So if you're a woman and you have experienced what's called headaches and hot flashes and urinary incontinence in a very dry female reproductive area, or if you have greatly decreased vitality or libido, well, this might end up being, you know, important for you to hear. You know, I think I've mentioned before that when I've gone through the checkout line at a large store here in Jacksonville, begins with a W, you can probably figure out what the name of the store is, that I asked the checker, I said, hey, because, well, I'm not being straight with you. Let me just kind of give you a little more background information. I think there were like two or three people ahead of me, and one had diapers for a baby, and let's just say another one, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, they had adult diapers, okay? And so I kind of asked her out of curiosity. I said, hey, what are the vast majority of all your sales of diapers? And, you know, in my mind, I thought it was going to be for babies. She said, oh, no, 80% of all diaper sales are for adults. And I thought to myself, oh, boy, what an issue. Now, I haven't researched that topic in great detail, but I can tell you this. I never heard about those things happening when I was younger with adults, even though I was around quite a few older relatives and such. But could you imagine if a woman suffered from urinary incontinence every time she would laugh, or she would giggle, or sneeze, or cough? She would lose the ability to hold her water or hold her urine. Well, this is interesting to me. How can bee pollen positively affect hot flashes, or a woman that suffers from menopausal headaches, or vaginal dryness, or low energy? I take bee pollen all the time. I think it makes you feel good. Anyway, so there's that topic right there. Now, this is the other one. Where's the other one that I found? Okay, I'm going to read this to you right here, because I find this very, very, very intriguing, okay? Because this topic, it comes up just about every single day or every single week. Here goes. A person walks in my office and they say, I am completely concerned about my wife. She doesn't remember things the way that she used to. She has what I would call poor cognitive function. She searches for words. She doesn't remember times or dates or events that have happened in her life. Or maybe even worse, she can't remember numbers and times of the year when certain events happened, which could be a pretty clear indication that maybe there's something going on in the mind that needs to be healed or repaired. Now, that's not a jab toward anybody, but if a woman cannot remember specific numbers and dates, then there's probably a reason to be very, very concerned about her brain function. Okay, well, you know as well as I do, one of the major contributors to impaired mental function or cognitive function as a human being ages, whether you're 40 years old or 56 or 76 or 86, well, one of the biggest deals is reduced blood flow to the brain. You got to remember that your blood, it carries an ocean of nutrients to all the cells and tissues of the body. You got to have it. You want the body to be strong and radiant and healthy? Well, you better have pretty good blood flow with lots of oxygen and nutrition. Because if you have poor blood flow, well, guess what happens? You're not going to really deliver the nutrients that your brain needs for optimal function, let alone the oxygen. And you're sure not going to carry away all the debris and the waste that builds up as just a normal byproduct of brain metabolism. And so, enter the concept of what do we do naturally to try to improve blood flow to the brain. Well, there are some treatments that may show significant promise in the prevention and the treatment of cognitive impairment. And so there's an idea here. Now, there's a study that I came across in the year 2013. It was conducted by Harvard University. And I know this is going to sound ultra simplistic, but just hear me out. These numbers are kind of crazy numbers, but just listen along and let me see if I can tell this story correctly. So all they did was Harvard University came up with this study they thought was brilliant. And they wanted to find out if drinking hot cocoa was beneficial to improving cognitive function, okay? All right, here goes. To investigate the relationship between cocoa consumption and brain health, a group of 60 people, they were aged 73 years old, plus or minus 5 years. They were really 72.9, plus or minus 5.4 years. I just round them off. They didn't have dementia, and they were studied in a double-blind clinical trial. The participants drank 2 cups of hot cocoa per day for 30 days, and they did not consume any other chocolate during the study. So you get where I'm coming from. That was it. The hot chocolate or the hot cocoa, that's the only chocolate they had, okay? One group consumed a high flavanol hot cocoa providing 609 milligrams of coca flavanols. The other group consumed a low flavanol version providing 13 milligrams. Folks, what they're referring to is how many chocolate-based nutrients are found in this hot cocoa mix here. One was pretty high and one was pretty low. Okay, you with me? At the beginning of the study, and then again after 30 days, the participants were given tests of memory and thinking skills, and they were also given ultrasound tests to measure the amount of blood flow to the brain during these tests. Hey, I like this so far. What the researchers and the others showed is that as different areas of the brain need more energy to complete their task, they also need a greater blood flow. Oh, isn't that interesting? That means the more that you use your brain, the more blood flow you need. Well, I think that's what that's saying, okay? So, they use different areas of the brain, they need more energy to complete their tasks. That means they also need greater blood flow. This relationship, which is called neurovascular coupling, plays a role in the development of dementia and or Alzheimer's disease. Out of the 60 participants, there were exactly 18 that had impaired blood flow at the start of the study. And I'm assuming they determined that by using an ultrasound on the brain to determine blood flow. Those people, the 18 that had impaired blood flow at the start of the study, those had an 8.3% improvement and blood flow to the working areas of the brain by the end of the study, while there was no improvement for those who started out with regular blood flow. Okay, are you with me? Those individuals that had the impaired blood flow also improved their times on a test of working memory, with scores dropping from 167 seconds at the beginning of the study to 116 seconds at the end. To me, that's pretty fascinating. And I realize I'm just giving you one small sliver here. You know I'm not trying to say that hot chocolate is a cure-all. But what I am saying is you need to be open to the idea that there might be some healing component actually found in chocolate that might benefit the functioning of the human brain. I know this makes so many people sad for me to talk about this because people are saying across East Texas and the world right now, well, we hate chocolate. No, I'm joking. A total of 24 of the participants also had MRI scans of the brain to look for any tiny areas of brain damage. The scans found that people with impaired blood flow were also more likely to have such areas of brain damage. Well, that kind of makes common sense, doesn't it? I think somebody was just trying to call in the radio program, and I just looked at the clock. It's already 7:20. If you want to join me on the radio and ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to do so. The number is 903-586-5257. And let's go to the phone lines and let's see what's going on. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Okay, what does substance P have to do with balding?
I have no idea, but I know what it has to do with somebody that's in chronic pain.
Well, I was watching a health program one time, and he was talking about you were low in substance P if you were losing your hair.
Ah.
I understand it.
Well, I don't know that I know the relationship, but here's how I want to kind of answer that, though.
Okay, but let me say this first.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And he said something about the top of your head would be real itchy.
Well, I always think of the top of the head as itchy. That's like a liver issue right there.
Okay.
But that's just me trying to oversimplify it. But the human body's got to have these water-soluble B vitamins to keep the nerves and the hair healthy. And so, have you ever heard of biotin before?
Oh, yeah, I take biotin.
Well, you know, I've asked a whole bunch of people that said that biotin made their hair grow back.
Well,
even though I don't know there's a human study that elucidates that, but there's a study on animals that does. But you know what I do? I believe everyone that tells me that. If they say, I took this B vitamin compound, Dr. Morgan, it made my hair grow back, I'm going, why would they lie to me? Biotin's cheap, super cheap.
Yeah, I take it. I've been taking it, but didn't make my hair. In fact, I'm about 99% bald.
Well, here's the idea that I want to float, and I realize this is maybe a slightly different direction. I have seen so many women with hair loss that this is the first thing that I think of. I think of it potentially as an autoimmune reaction. And I'm not trying to wear you out with details, but there are circumstances where your immune system can actually attack your hair follicles and cause them to die. And so if that's the case, I want to ask, well, what could be the trigger? Now, it's been my experience. I know I'm just giving you general information, but if a woman eats wheat, that may be the biggest trigger that I've ever seen toward hair loss in women. The next relationship that I look at is how efficiently they digest protein, because you know hair is made of keratin and keratin is protein.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If you've ever seen somebody take hair and burn it with like a cigarette lighter, you know that don't smell too pleasant.
It's
pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So the number one predictor of hair regeneration is going to be iron levels in a woman. So the lab test that I always look at for hair loss in women, it's called ferritin. F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N, I think.
That has to do with iron, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. You're exactly right. But that tells you how much iron are you holding in reserve in your tissues. And so like anything else, if you're running low on nutrients, your body's going to say, well, I would sure like to grow some hair here, but until I get the iron that I need, that ain't going to happen. So when ferritin levels start to drop at 40 or below in a woman, that's where you start to see hair loss. It's pretty, pretty classic.
How would I get a ferritin test?
Well, that would be very, very easy if you went to your doctor and say, I would like a CBC with a differential, please, and a ferritin levels.
Okay.
And that's all very cheap stuff to do. It's not expensive at all.
Okay.
Even if you say, hey, I'll pay for it cash out of pocket.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a roll of quarters in my pocket. I'll give you all of them. But if your ferritin is at 40 or below, the lower it goes below 40, you start to see greater amounts of hair loss in women. Now, to try to help, you know, give you an idea, I'd say, okay, here's what you could do. Sometimes this offends people. It doesn't offend me at all, but I've had so many people tell me this is morally disgusting when I talk about this. I don't see it that way, but I want to respect them. So If this is offensive, let me know. But eating a steak or eating red meat, it has almost every nutrient and element and protein and substance that a woman needs to grow hair. So did I offend you by talking about eating a grass-fed steak?
Well, I would have to grind it up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was in a store called Costco in the past, and I looked in the freezer case, and they had these two steaks in a package, and it said Wagyu or Wagyu. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Okay. I have never in my life seen a pattern of marbling like I did in these two steaks. It was so unusual. It caught my attention. Now, I looked at them through the door. I never touched them. Kind of wish I had touched them. I'm just joking about that. But when I looked at them, I said, man, this is incredible. Then I looked at the price tag. The price tag was $99.95 for two steaks. And I said, probably not.
Was that the sacred cow?
Evidently it was. No, but it's supposed to be just one of the most tender steaks of all time because of the marbling.
So, W-A-G-U?
That's it.
Is that an animal?
It's a cow. It is. I think it's a Japanese cow.
Goodness.
So when you talk to them, you have to say things like, hi, in order for them to understand. They don't speak English. They only speak Japanese. And you say, domo arigato. Anyway, so red meat, if you found something, and you could just use like a hamburger steak, you really could, or a meatloaf.
Okay. Well, I do eat beef, and I mix venison with it.
Well, there's no problem there. I think that's a good call.
And I do cook in a cast iron skillet, and I do put molasses, unsulfured molasses, in my one cup of coffee.
Well, I think that that's a brilliant move on your part.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It just may mean there's something that hasn't come to your attention just yet.
And inflammation. I wonder what kind of inflammation.
Well, inflammation just means a repair deficit. And so if you're lacking a nutrient like a certain B vitamin or zinc or iron, those things could lead themselves, or protein, they could lend themselves toward hair loss. But usually with hair loss of this quantity, I would say it's an autoimmune reaction. So if you're eating wheat, that may be the trigger.
Well, I don't eat much.
Well, I know, believe me, I'm very sympathetic to what you're saying. But the thing of it is, it just takes one serving a month to evoke a response.
Oh, wow.
That's based on studies based on celiac disease. So, I am for you.
Okay. And my nutritionist this week put me on Liverplex. He said I had an obstructive valve going from a lymph node, it was almost at the front top of my shoulder. You know, he does that stuff like you do where you raise your arm and trying to push your arm down and all that kind of stuff. If I told him that I had severe muscle spasms all on the right side of my body and my shoulder under my arm. You know, not my arm, but
Do you know what the word term code talk means?
No.
Okay, well, you're going to have to figure it out.
Because
code talk. CODETALK. Code talk.
Oh, okay.
So that means I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to try to tell you, and you're going to have to figure it out, okay?
Okay, let's go.
Because it's a family program this morning.
Oh, okay.
The last two women that I've seen with very significant hair loss that completely caused their hair to grow back, they used a substance called urea.
Well,
what you're going to have to Google it and look it up.
Well, I don't have any modern conveniences like that.
So you don't have a phone where you can get on the internet?
No, I don't have a smartphone. I don't have internet. I don't have.
Well,
computer.
you have a friend that does, and so just call him and say, hey, Dr. Morgan says applying urea to the scalp causes hair growth. Could you look it up for me?
Yes.
Okay, that's simple as that.
Yes, that would do.
Do not make excuses with me. I know you have friends.
Listen, if it was the other substance, I'd do it too.
No, it's not the other substance.
That's code talk.
That's code talk for compost in the garden, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, that might be an idea.
You know what? You know what I read the other day? I know this is like a waste of time, but they're saying that when people use blowers to blow all the leaves off their lawn, they're showing that all the beneficial insects are dying from the lawns and the shrubs because they don't have anything to eat. They don't have that decomposing plant matter.
Wow.
So if you rake up all your leaves and put them in bags for me, I'll come by in my pickup and pick them up and dump them on my garden. Is that okay?
Should I just leave the leaves on the ground for the wintertime?
Yeah, I'm afraid that's, if you want stuff to grow, that'd be pretty good.
Well, boy, I'll just save myself a hunk of money because I have one of the world's largest oak trees in my yard and three huge pecan trees.
You know what? I've been by your house and I've seen that oak tree. It's like the perfect silhouette on a winter's day.
Well, it's a wonder you didn't stop and get the cactus out front.
Well, I don't believe in stealing. There's a commandment against that.
Ring my doorbell, I'll give you
Oh, so it's not stealing if you give me permission.
Yes.
Wait, is it a cactus or is it aloe vera?
No, it's the nopalar cactus, and I do have people that comes by and they cut the blooms off.
Do they ask permission?
No.
What do you feel? How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't mind sharing. You know,
well,
there's
aren't
plenty
you
of,
sweet?
There's plenty of blooms. I don't want them to go to waste if somebody gets benefit from
what
them.
What do they do with the blooms? What
they
it?
Eat them.
Okay.
They eat them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do they put them in a woman's hair and then eat that way or in a salad?
I don't know.
I'm joking.
I haven't asked them, but several times I've had to whittle the cactus down. There'll be piles of cactus out there, and boy, they do come get that.
Now, are you saying people come by as in human beings, or do you mean tortoises or turtles? Which one is it?
People.
Do they look like turtles?
No, they're of a different nationality.
Oh, well,
from the south.
That's what I'm thinking of when you think of cactus flowers. I'm thinking of a turtle or a tortoise munching on them.
Nope.
I've seen that before, and I thought that was cool.
They'll pull up there in their vehicles with a box and load up that cut down cactus, and off they go.
Well, you're doing the world a favor by planting food for people to eat.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Well, I hate to waste such good cactus, but they get so big that...
You know what else you could do? I just thought of it. Just kind of popped in my head. Castor oil. You could literally rub castor oil and massage it in your scalp every night.
I do that on my feet every night.
Well, let's do the other end.
Okay.
And let's see if that works, okay?
Okay. I appreciate
You're
your
welcome.
Information.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You much. Bye.
Okay, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was just going to give you a heads up on the cocoa. I heard you mention cocoa this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
I don't mean the gorilla. I was talking about chocolate.
I know.
Sorry.
It reminded me, my son was burned like 65% of his body over 10 years ago when I was in Dallas. And this lady came in because every day I'm waiting to see him when they'd let you go in to see him. A lady came in, they were Mexicans, I guess, Indian, I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Just real sweet people.
She said her husband, they were in for a checkup, and he had been burned over 60% of his body.
Oh,
but she said an old lady came in and told her they did a regimen with pure cocoa. They covered him, like a made of paint, and covered him on his body. You know, and he had hardly any scars. He looked good. And then I did...
You talk about an awesome story. That's great.
And then there is a place where you can go, a spa, and it's nothing but cocoa, a mud bath, all this. So I'm thinking, Mammy, I need to buy cocoa and cover my whole body. I mean, it makes your skin beautiful. You could drink it, put it on your body. I thought maybe even every night just dusted my body with cocoa.
You know what? I have this image of a glistening, iridescent chocolate glow coming from your skin. Am I right about that?
No. Anyway, I just...
Hey, what could go wrong? You should wear a white silk dress to church tomorrow.
Yeah.
And put cocoa all over your skin. I like it.
But I was giving you a heads up. You might want to study more about that because
it brought it back
to my memory about... And I always thought, man, that's so simple.
Well,
and she said that's what they did.
Well, you know what I want to say about this? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
you talk about cocoa, and I'm really not trying to make a joke at it, but that stuff is just chalked with nutrition and nutrients. And so whatever you apply mm-hmm. to your skin will drink it up. So could you imagine, and let me just kind of make up an analogy here. Let's say that your husband's a mechanic, and he works on cars, and before he leaves, you know, the shop every day, he says, you know what, I like soap, but I think diesel fuel or acetone or fingernail polish or gasoline gets rid of the grease a little bit better and faster. Well, you know what's going to happen. He is going to soak up those chemicals, and that's just going to make him sick. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm such a fan of either lemon juice or olive oil or coconut oil or sometimes even butter. Have you ever heard of somebody putting honey on a skin problem that can never heal or go away, and all of a sudden they go, wow, after 3 weeks of honey, my skin actually healed right there. But now I'm going to start adding cocoa to the list. Now I need you to,
amen.
I'm going to give you my cell phone number, and you're going to have to cover yourself, your face with it, and send me a picture, and I'll see if I can recognize you, okay?
But I was just giving you a heads up, because it reminded me of those people, and I always thought about it, thought, that's so simple, but we never thought about that.
So this guy had 60% of his body with burns.
Burned.
And they covered it with a cocoa paste.
Mm-hmm. She said that's when they, an older lady, Indian lady, or I'm thinking they're Indian. Anyway,
I'm thinking that place is
in Arizona.
I totally dig this story.
Man, I think, wow, look at that. Everything we could use is natural. It's going to help heal your body. I need to buy me some cocoa.
Well, here's what I'm thinking of right now. Okay. You can go to the store and you can purchase what's called unfiltered extra virgin olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realize probably all of it's filtered a little bit, but you just try to preserve as many of the nutrients as you can, so there's just minimal filtration, right?
Right.
And so I thought, what if I took just powdered cocoa and just blended it with olive oil and made a paste? I think that's going to be my next trial to see what happens to the skin.
I might try that on my face for them ladies that put the mud mask on their face.
Well, what I'm going to recommend is you start making lip balm made of this and just rub it all over your lips before you go to church on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
What could go wrong?
That'd be like the day I used to color my hair. I don't anymore, but I used to. So I grabbed this coloring at Walmart. I go in to do my hair in the shower. I said, someone had switched it. It was black. I have light brown, almost blondish. So I have to go to church with black hair. And they all think I did it on purpose. They all did it.
Man, that's the cruelest thing of all time. They probably walked up and said, hey, I'm going to take this blonde and mix it with the black and see how they like that. That's horrible.
Yeah, so when you, but that's a heads up, too. When you buy hair coloring from Walmart, if it looks like it's been tampered with, people switch the thing.
Hey, you tell me when you're going to Walmart, and I'm going to put the violet-blue color that I see sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? I'm trying not trying to make a joke out of this, but, you know, half the time I look out my front door and I see women walking through the parking lot with purple hair, pink hair, red hair, green hair, light blue, dark blue, silver. You just keep going
all
and going.
Colors.
Sometimes it's rainbow color. It's
what's the deal here?
Okay. I like your idea, because cocoa represents so many nutritional. It contains polyphenols or flavonoids that are
If I try that, I'll give you a call and let you know what happened to my face.
Well, you know what? You've got nothing to lose. We'll do half on the right and the other half not. We'll find out what happens.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. I enjoyed every bit of it. I appreciate you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a cruel trick. Hey, this is a hair dye. I'm going to do it right before I go to church on Sunday morning. Light brown. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
I got choked up laughing. I'm sorry. That was horrible.
Well, I heard that bit before I walked out of my room to come into a back room. Anyway, I have this spot on my back that itched. And so I couldn't really scratch it, so I got my husband to scratch it, and he used his fingernails. And then it got whelpy, like two streaks in the back. And it's right where your wing bone is.
Yes.
I can't really reach it, but...
it's just a little bit out of your reach, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
And now it itches so bad that it, like, goes through my body.
Man, talk about annoying.
It's very annoying.
How long has this been going on?
Well, since the snow. When it snowed.
When you say snow, you mean the week-long snow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, exactly. You've got a couple options, and obviously, if you need to get it checked out, get the thing checked out. But in the meantime, why don't you just take, like, a extra-large Band-Aid, meaning one that's large enough to cover it, and just butter that Band-Aid up with honey and just tape it on top of it, see if your body can heal it.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, we're going to have to go with hot chocolate. I'm joking.
Well, you know, that might do it.
Of course, your husband needs to apply it with a smile on his face, because I hear that's really where the results come from, with a good attitude.
I think you're right. And
just pass along that I said that. He'll do it.
Okay.
But if you will apply honey to it, and actually honey is so good at helping the skin to heal. Now, my preference in honey would be raw, unfiltered honey. I realize they filter all honey a little bit just to make sure there's no bees floating around the honey, probably.
Right.
But if you will, that's just a joke. I'm sure that doesn't happen, but who knows, maybe. But you want it where it has all this cloudy gunk in there, and those are all nutrients. I think they have a tremendous amount of value to them.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay.
You know what I'm doing when I leave here?
What?
I think I'm going to go to the store and buy a package of cocoa, and I'm going to see what happens. I really
Maybe
am.
Maybe I'll put hot cocoa in it. Yeah, I could do that.
Well, if you were to tape it on throughout the day, and he could just remove the bandage and then do it again at night, tell me if the itching starts to go away. But it's very, very healing for itching skin.
Okay.
You got nothing to lose.
That's true, and I appreciate that so much.
And is there anything else you want your husband to do for you? Because I could probably add that on as far as a prescription. Just tell me what you want, and I'll make it happen.
Well, you know, sometimes he gets just real stinky about doing things, but I think I can convince him.
Are you wanting a vacation to a warmer tropical paradise right now?
Oh, yes.
Well, then I hate to break it to you, but that's the only way that a condition like this can actually heal.
The sun.
That's it. Not just any sun.
Oh.
You have to go to a different part closer to the equator. The closer to the equator you get. And so just tell him that Dr. Morgan says a tropical vacation is...
It's in order. Yeah.
Yes.
I got you.
All right. I think we understand each other, don't we?
I think we do, too.
Okay. All right. But right, I feel good about my suggestions then.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
I enjoy your show so much.
Well, you're so welcome. I appreciate you very much.
Well, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's plenty of time for another phone call at 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dr. Morgan?
I am great, thank you. Thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you for taking it. I heard you talking about bee pollen for menopause and hot flashes.
Yes.
Can you expand on that, please?
Well, I hate to admit this, but the article that I found did not give me actual numbers.
Okay.
So I don't mean to be deceptive. So I cannot tell you exactly how much bee pollen granules that these women took that were postmenopausal,
okay,
and they had either vaginal dryness or they had headaches or they had hot flashes. I don't know the answer to that, so
okay.
I see you kind of called me on my information. I don't have an answer for you.
Oh,
but
okay.
I can tell you what I'd recommend or what I'd feel good about.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. You know what a teaspoon is, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And so I believe it is 3 teaspoons that equal 1 tablespoon.
Okay.
Was that funny?
Well, kind of.
How do you say tablespoon in Italian?
Cucchiaio.
Okay, if you say so. How do you say the color yellow in Italian? Is it jello?
Yes.
Wow, I'm a genius.
We can just start speaking Italian.
Oh, A forte. So anyway, what I would guess is it's going to be somewhere around 2 teaspoons to maybe just a level tablespoon. And what I would do is just toss the bee pollen granules in your mouth and chew them up and swallow them. But the thing of it is, bee pollen is a very interesting substance in nature in that it contains what are called trophic factors.
Okay.
And trophic factors in nature, they help promote growth and repair and healing. Now, when I say growth, I do not mean that you're going to take bee pollen, you're going to end up being 400 pounds. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
But just to be clear, I probably am wasting your time even mentioning this because that doesn't happen. But bee pollen promotes growth, which means healing, 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 repair, repair, repair. So if there was a man that had horrible, horrible prostate problems, and he just can't get relief through drugs or medicines or other procedures, it would sure be worth a trial to take bee pollen for about 2 months. Of course, it'd also be worth a trial to give up sugar and start walking for 45 minutes every day. That would actually get blood flow to the prostate.
Yeah.
But bee pollen, even though I cannot tell you from that study, I'll try to look it up, but my guess is would be 2 to 3 teaspoons. Just chew it up in your mouth, and like anything else, you got to give it time. And remember, the main color of bee pollen is jello. You don't know this, but I know a lady that teaches me Italian, and she's a genius.
I doubt that.
Do not argue with me, woman. She is so smart, it's unbelievable. But
okay.
If I could talk to her husband right now, he would concur with me immediately.
He's right here. You want him?
Wait, who am I talking to? Well, if you will try the bee pollen, I would aim for about 2 to 3 teaspoons or maybe 1 level tablespoon. And if that's too much, just start off with whatever you want to do.
Okay.
And all you can do is see if over time that you have an improvement in female hormones.
Okay.
And usually if there's an improvement in female hormones, that means a woman feels better emotionally, she feels better physically, she has more vitality.
Hmm.
Personally, I love the idea of having more endurance and stamina, which means you can do more without your body becoming exhausted or wearing out.
Right. Absolutely.
Of course, it may be different if you're carrying 2 buckets of range cubes through 10 inches of snow and it's 10 below zero. That might wear anybody out.
Yeah, well, but yes, for improvement, I will certainly try this.
Yeah, you absolutely have no risk involved with this. A big canister of bee pollen is usually like about 8 or 9 or 10 bucks, so it's not expensive.
Okay, okay. And I will let you know how I go.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you,
yes,
Dr. Moore.
Yes, ma'am. You have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. It's 903-586-5257. And this program is Health Essentials. All righty. Thank you so much for your phone call. I'm Dr. Morgan. How can I help?
Good morning.
Real quickly,
I was praying about it this morning, and then I remembered that you came on, so I thought I would push it by you to see what you think.
Sure.
They're wanting me to take that. Forgive me if I'm not saying it right. Cinex for shingles, the shots, the 2 shots.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm not into, you know, anything like that. I try to avoid all that. I do as healthy as possible. But, and I did have chicken pox. The family did. But my sister and some others have been showing up with shingles, and I haven't. I have a wonderful immune system, praise the Lord.
Oh, man. That's the best thing I could hear right there. Thank the good Lord for that.
Yes, I do a lot. I don't catch colds, flus, anything. I just praise Him for that so much. But what's your advice on that? And if not that, what is there anything I should do?
Well, let let me say this. When I read the latest research on an individual that comes down with shingles, and by the way, I would not wish shingles to happen to anybody that I know, whether I like them or I don't like them. Basically, there's a virus called the varicella zoster virus, and it's a close cousin of the virus that causes chickenpox, like in kids. But this virus, when the conditions are right and this sucker flares up, you have horrible, horrible pain at the nerve ending or following the course of the nerve, and you have these blister-like eruptions that show up. And I've seen some bad pictures, and I've seen some horrible situations over the years. So to make a long story short, what you really want is, you've got to understand that when women undergo the highest amounts of emotional stress, that's the number one predictor of somebody that's going to have shingles.
Okay.
And so, well, I know it sounds like...
No, I'm pretty relaxed on stress, probably sometimes too much.
The next thing that I want to float your direction is, there's a mineral that the human body requires. It's called zinc. And so zinc is literally the cornerstone of the immune system. So if you have zinc, all of a sudden you have an ability to manufacture what are called antibodies. And so antibodies are what you need in order to counter a viral infection. And so they might recommend a shot or a vaccine, but what I'm going to say is, be at peace with God. Live the life that He wants you to live. Do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. Be anxious for nothing, and everything give thanks. But without zinc, see, I know I've said this many times before, but I'm going to say it again. If a woman is a little bit low in zinc, she's going to have more of a craving for sweets or for salty foods, or maybe even both, sweet and salty. And so zinc is going to be burned up by the body when you consume sugar, sugar, sugar. Any human being that wants to be strong, the less sugar they consume, the greater their health is going to be. It's going to be incredible. And so I'm a huge fan of what's called thymus extract. If I could use one substance and one substance only to help defeat a virus, it'd probably be thymus extract.
Okay. Well, I've always said I'm short and sweet, and I'm pretty sure my family would say I'm pretty salty, too. But I've been
sorry, wasn't I supposed to laugh?
No, I do. I do. I've been doing extra zinc, and I appreciate that, and I did get some thymus.
Good. I always think that you need calcium that comes from food. When you get food-based calcium, that's when your immune system is strong. So when you eat kale and broccoli and salmon and Swiss cheese, all that good stuff, that's great calcium right there.
Okay. Well, I think I just got my answers.
Well,
my
good
thank
deal.
You thank very
you.
Much.
Thank you, ma'am.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. If you'd like to join me on the radio, call now, 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. All right. Thank you so much for your phone call. How can I help?
Yes. My sister has restless leg syndrome, very bad. And she can just be sitting in the chair and her leg just starts jumping up. Do you have any...
Do you know whether or not she has anemia? Is she anemic?
I don't think so.
Is she a high-energy person?
No.
Okay. Anemia is a real thing, and so if there's lower levels of oxygen, you're going to have the highest preponderance of restless leg syndrome. So all I would say is... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She needs to have her it checked.
Well, that really wouldn't hurt. I mean, it's a simple test called a CBC. So if she has low hematocrit and low hemoglobin and low iron and low ferritin and low red blood cell count, those would all be pretty powerful clues in the right direction. So let me say it this way. The type of iron that seems to be most agreeable is either what comes from meat or from blackstrap molasses.
Okay.
So, but then again, you know, just like the woman that called earlier, It's true that bee pollen is so good at generating vitality in the human body. So, okay. Do you know what the number one reason is, according to studies, on why people are malnourished? And it may kind of surprise you, but it's being sedentary. I know okay. that may not make sense, mm-hmm. but studies show that the more that people sit down in front of a television, the mm-hmm. more they eat junk food. I know you don't. And
well, she does sit a lot. I will say that.
Well, and the net result is she's going to have lower levels of oxygen by sitting all the time. So the simple solution is getting up and moving. Now, if she wanted that restless leg to just stop right now, then I'm going to tell you how to do it.
Okay.
Number one, take fresh lemon juice from, you know, you don't have to have a perfect glass reaming device for a lemon or a lemon press that squeezes it for you or a mechanical uh-huh. device. You could just take and cut the lemon in half and just shove a fork in it and twist it all around until you get all the juice out of it, right?
Yes.
I learned that
so
from
she put that on her leg?
Yes. I learned that technique from a genius person that is the master of the lemon. They just cut the lemon in mm-hmm. half, shoved a fork in it, and just got every drop of juice out of it. But if she can rub that on her legs and let it air dry, then come back and take some unfiltered extra virgin olive oil and slather it on and then walk around, this is probably going to go away.
Okay.
But if she's anemic, we need to correct that. Now, maybe the third point is, study after study demonstrates that oxygen and blood flow has a little bit to do with a mineral called magnesium. And so if a person is low in magnesium, so I'm only telling you so you'll know, I'm not trying to scold anybody here, but every time a person drinks a carbonated beverage, they are mm-hmm. sucking the magnesium out of their body. It just dumps it like crazy. So if you drink a Coke, you're asking for your magnesium to go out the back end. Well, the front end, I can't remember which one it is. But anyway.
How much magnesium?
Well, depending on the form that you get, so I know this is not meant to be a cop-out, but maybe it is. If you go to the health food store and you purchase what's called magnesium citrate or magnesium glycinate or magnesium citrate malate, something like that, just take mm-hmm. what the manufacturer recommends, take it with food, and maybe take it at the end of the day and see if it doesn't start to be a game changer.
Okay.
And
that
so the other thing that I would probably look at, there's a water-soluble vitamin called thiamine. Sometimes it's called vitamin B1.
Okay.
Not B2, not B3, but B1.
B1, okay.
Yeah, I had a woman in my office yesterday said that she nearly died by doing a niacin flush. And I thought, oh, my goodness, don't do that again.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Okay. All right. You've given me some great things for me to pass along to her, and I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. I'm so happy to get to talk to you today, and I hope you have a great, great weekend.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and I wish your sister the best.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. One topic that I'm trying to kind of pour myself into, and I'm still trying to collect information because I want to make sure I kind of have a handle on this, is the topic of messenger RNA. Now, I've already started on this, but I'm in no way finished with knowing everything I want to know from front to back. And so if you'll let me kind of pour through that, I want to make sure that I answer that question very, very well before I discuss it in detail. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Please tune in next Saturday morning, Lord willing, at the same time.